Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, we are going to help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their careers. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com, and click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality. Click the link, and this takes you directly to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of our past guests. And you can also download our free app for your Android or your iPhone and listen to any of the other exciting shows. I know my show is super exciting. I know it. But there are others. There are others in the land of LA Talk Radio. And they are informative shows, too. So just download the app from the homepage. And it's located towards the bottom of the page. A couple of people emailed and said, I can't find it. Help me. I can't find it. Well, it's down at the bottom of the page. You just scroll your little heart down to the bottom. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. So just go to their websites and type Question Reality Radio in the search box, and we are there. Now, future guests, people are like, where are you? I went to LA Talk Radio. I don't see where the guests are. Well, they are there, but they're on the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And we're usually always booked 6 months to a year in advance. And if you want to come on the show and promote yourself or your products or anything you want to promote, unless you're in the prostitution business, we don't promote that. But other than that, if you want to promote something, go to Question Reality Radio Show and go to the contact page. And if you work professionally, we would love to have you on. So there you go. Now, as always, we have a fantastic show today. Or as Ed Sullivan said, a really good shoe. I think that's how he said it. I'm the worst at impressions. But we had her on the show before. She's back by popular demand. And last time I mispronounced her name. And Lord, I hate when people mess my name up, call me Patricia or Patsy or something. So without further ado, let's talk to Eileen Gruba. Did I get it right, Eileen?
You did, of course.
Woo! Let me get a little picture. Albert is here today. He's taking pictures. We're taking shots. Oh, God, I wear my hair spiked. Everybody knows that. And when I put this thing on, it just crushes my do. And I just am so aware of it. And it just irritates me. Anyway, let me tell you, for those of you who did not catch the show last time, you want to go back on the archive page and listen to that interview, because hopefully that interview is totally different than this interview. But just Eileen Gruba, go to her website right now. It's eileengruba.com, eileengruba.com. She's also on Twitter as Eileen Gruba and Facebook, Eileen.Gruba. And also check out modelsofdiversity.org. org, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And of course, you can see all of her credits on imdb.com. And let me tell you, she's an actress, a producer, writer, and she is a lifetime member of the world-renowned Actor Studio and trains with the wonderful Martin Landau, Barbara Bain, and famed acting coach Alan Miller. And he also coached Barbara Streisand, Dustin Hoffman, and Meryl Streep, just to name a few. You can check him out. Google. I'm sure you'll see all of the people that he also trained. And Eileen has performed in theater, independent films, and television. And some of her credits include one of my favorite shows, Criminal Minds. Oh, she was so good in that show. Benched. Oh, she played... we'll talk about that. But I love that show, and I'm so upset that they canceled it. I'm annoyed beyond belief that they canceled that. Bones, one of my favorite shows. Love that. Oh, he's so sexy.
Dreamy.
Sons of Anarchy, which I have yet to see. Have not watched that yet. CSI Miami, The Mentalist, Cold Case, Nip Tuck, The Closer, ER, and Monk. Oh, I love that show. The Young and the Restless, and so many more. We would take 3, 4, 5 hours just to go through the list. But she has just completed the film Wild Oats with Jessica Lange and Shirley MacLaine, and she shot a few episodes of The Red Road for the Sundance Channel. And we don't have the Sundance Channel, and I'm so perturbed that we pay a fortune and we can't get HBO, Showtime, or the Sundance Channel. But hopefully that's going to change, Albert, right? HBO and Showtime are going to be offering individual packages, right? Where you don't have to...
HBO is...
Say it in the speaker so we can all hear your little advice and tips. What is
HBO is... But I don't know about Showtime.
Okay. So, you know, you'll be able to purchase that and watch all the shows on HBO in
and
the
future. And you can catch them online.
And you can catch them online for sure. Now, we're going to be chatting about Eileen Gruba's wonderful career as an entertainment professional, in which she will provide you, the listening audience, with sage career advice on various jobs. Hopefully, writer, actress, and producer will get some tips. And we'll also find out about her work as a passionate, empowered patient advocate, which she is. So, without further ado, and I'm out of breath and ready to pass out, welcome to the show again, Eileen. Oh, my God. He did not do that. Oh, he added the sound effect. Well, that was nice. Thank you. She deserves a cheer like that. A whole Hollywood Coliseum. Are you going to be doing the gong later, too? I did add the sound effect to gong. Well, we'll see when it's appropriate. Welcome back to the
show.
Thank
you, Priscilla.
God. You have been doing such exciting things.
Yes, very exciting things.
Well, I saw you on Criminal Minds, and I loved how we were talking about you being an advocate of many different types of
people with challenges.
Well, challenges. Yeah, people with challenges. And what I loved, and I sent you an email on this, I loved how they left when you did your scene, they left in when you were walking away. Mm-hmm. And I love how they honored that. And it wasn't part of the storyline.
No, I left my brace off and chose to really give them that, show them that limp because... my character was a battered wife.
Yeah.
An abused wife in the 70s and also hadn't slept for 3 days because her daughter had been kidnapped by a serial killer. So it was a very rough and emotional character.
And I love how they left
for it
in.
And they let it be.
They could have just cut it and they let it in.
They liked
it. Was that something that was discussed?
No, they were fine with it. They were just open. What I'm learning and what I'm seeing as I go into my 24th year of acting professionally is that the more creative people in our industry, they love it and embrace it. They love the difference. And it does add depth to your storylines without ever having to talk about it.
Right.
It works.
That, and I hope that other people got that, but as we saw you walking away, I was thinking that was a whole other story. And whoever the director was, who I unfortunately don't remember, but
he's one of the executive producers.
That's brilliant
because... He was brilliant director.
To leave that in said to me, that you're looking at her walking away with the limp and you're going, was that something that how did that happen? What caused that? There were so many questions that added to that. At least for me, I was thinking
I have to tell you that I've had some fantastic experiences in this business, but that was one of my favorite teams to ever work with because collectively they were so brilliant and so welcoming, excited about what I was bringing to the table, but also this director was so skilled. And I learned later that he worked his way up through cinematography and all that stuff up to producing the show. And the girl who wrote the episode with Erica Messer, one of the executive producers, is one of the lead actresses on the show, Kristen.
Oh.
And I didn't know that until the table read, and they were just so wonderful, and they embraced who I was and was grateful for what I was bringing, and the director was so talented. He was so fine-tuning, which we don't always get that kind of detailed direction, and I just loved it, and they were wonderful. They were just so wonderful.
Take us through, just briefly, but take us through what happens when, from the starting process of your agent calls you and says you have an audition for Criminal Minds. For those who've never experienced that, take us through what happens.
Okay, so let me remember this one because it was in the fall. so many things happen,
you forget
the details, but I do remember this. I just got called to go to the producer session, and I don't think there was a lot of time. I think it was one of those days where I had three things to go to at once and had to quick change,
auditions.
Get to the other one.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a weird thing in our industry. You could sit around for 2 weeks with nothing to do and suddenly four of them come in at once, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you're like, how am I going to learn all this and show up and do all these things at the same time and then shift gears to the next one? So it was one of those days. And it was one of the biggest weeks I ever had, going from final, rounds on a major sitcom and then going to the, you know, going into the room and seeing me and just a bunch of names.
Wow.
at Warner Brothers, and I was like, hi. And then there's me. Big names, you know, like right. I knew all of them, and I knew all their faces, and then going to this one, and so this was the last one, and I was like, okay, just show up, and you'll be there, you'll be present, you'll know, you know, whatever had shifting of gears I had to do, I knew that I could trust myself and get to where I needed to go. This character, when I auditioned for it, was going to go from that time in the 70s to present day, so that's like a 38-year time difference. So for the audition, I had to go from the young one to the old lady. I had to do both for the audition. So that was an interesting thing to work on.
Yeah.
And so I did. And one of my mentors and dear friends was like, really take a moment and shift gears between those two and become the older woman. And so it's interesting because there were a ton of people there for the callback, the final producer session.
That's so
and
scary.
We were being walked up into one by one into the room, and you have to go up a few steps. And right when we were going up, the casting associate turned around and she said, they want really emotional on this one.
Mm.
And usually if you go really emotional, it can scare people. So you kind of tone it down a mm-hmm. bit. At least that's been my experience with TV. And because I've even when I've had really scary characters, I've heard, you know, they get scared. They get freaked if you really go the distance. But because she said that, I was like, okay. So it's like two more steps after hearing that direction.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. You're in the room with 10 people watching you. And I was like, well, I'm just going to let it rip. Either it's good or it's too much. I don't know. But
right. But
I did let it rip. And when I took that moment to transfer myself into the older character and do that, and then I looked up and I could just see all their faces, and I was like, okay, that worked.
That worked.
and so I left, and I literally called my agent right away and gave him a report on the three that I had just been to, and that being the last one, and it was the end of the day and the sun was going down, and I said, well, I don't know, I let it rip on that one. Yeah. I might have gone too far, but we'll see what happens. I think I got a call before I even got home saying I booked that. So I was like, yay, excited. And it shot right before Thanksgiving, and I just will never forget. I mean, even Kristen said they liked, she came up to me at the table read and said they liked the audition so much that they wrote in a little more. Ultimately, though, because of the cost of aging prosthetics, mm-hmm. they did have an older lady play the older part, which I was disappointed because I was so excited to get to do the age difference.
Yeah.
So so hopefully that'll come up again on something else and I can do the both, because I'm a character actor. Yeah. I like, you know, a lot of times people see the shows, even like Criminal Minds, so many people were like, wow, that didn't look like you at all.
Right.
It looked so haggard and so much older and all these things. And I was like, what? I morph into characters. It is what I do.
That's what's exciting.
Go to screenings and say, you were in the movie? And then I'm like, yeah, it was that character with the black hair that, right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even realize.
That's like one of our favorite actors, Gary Oldman. Sometimes we're like, where the hell is he? We know he's in the movie. Where is he? We have to look very, very, but he's a chameleon, and that's what makes a great actor.
Even on really big roles sometimes, you know, people more will notice if they notice my movement, but that doesn't even always show in everything, that my little slight limp.
our cute little swagger. Now, you just did a NBC, or some of your recent projects, we're going to go over that, your NBC pilot, Game of Silence.
Oh my God.
That you just shot in Atlanta.
Yes. Oh my God.
Can you talk about that?
Yes. I mean, I can't
tell. Is it a sitcom?
No. It's a drama. And boy, what a heck of a drama. I read a lot of pilots this year, but I have to tell you, honestly, I even read pilots by very, very, very well-known writers. But this pilot blew me away. I couldn't put it down. I was, like, riveted by it. It was so, so well written. And David Hutchins is the writer. He did, like, Parenthood and a bunch of things. But it's being produced by Carol Mendelsohn and her team from CSI. And, of course, it's NBC. And the cast is phenomenal, but the director is Niels Arden Oplov, who was the original director of the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right, right.
And this was another experience where, you know, I had to fly to Atlanta to meet the producing team because they were already there, you know, mm-hmm. so I couldn't see them in LA. I had to go out there to meet them. And it was just one of the most amazing, producer session things I've ever had. I was the only one there for this particular role at this time there. I guess they had narrowed it down to me. And they just wanted to make sure, because the character will expand enormously and in a very challenged way in the series. So, and I can't say more on that, but it is going to be a hell of a role.
So this is going to be for a recurring part.
As long as it's a recurring guest star.
Wow.
It was a guest star in the pilot, but as long as the pilot gets picked up, and I think that it will, given this team and given the power of that script. And Michael Raymond James is one of the leads, and he is also a member of the Actors Studio. And I don't know when it'll air, but I have recently heard that it'll be July when we know if we have an NBC order. But that was another phenomenal experience with amazing director who I just love when you get a director who trusts you and lets you fly and encourages you to fly. And I just remember after like two takes, him coming running from Video Village across the street, and he gave me the biggest hug, and he was so happy because man, I do take risks. I really take risks. No hesitation there. I'm like, let him pull me back. And this was a raging character, alcoholic, and all. I can't say too much. I'm not
going
to say too much, but it was
fun.
And I got to do my own stunts.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and I'm so grateful to the stunt man. He was awesome, but I get to do my own stunts.
That leads into another question, because I always hear they're so picky and persnickety about that because of insurance. they just let you do it.
I asked when the stuntman came up and said, are you sure you can do this? With, you know, obviously by the time I walked on the set, they knew that I had a, a rebuilt leg and a brace.
Right.
And fortunately, wardrobe was amazing, and they let me wear my own shoes, which with long, like, yoga pants and wear the brace. But at some point I did have to take off the brace and move. And
what
so
did
I was
you
like,
do?
You guys really want to see that? It's going to show. You take off that brace, you're going to see this. And they were like, no, it's great. That's great. You know,
wow.
So they were fantastic.
Were you kung fu fighting?
There was some fighting.
I love it.
There was some fighting.
I hope you were kicking some butt.
I was having so much fun, and I was working with kids, and we were just having so much fun. We're like dancing between takes and then let it rip on the,
wow.
You know, so we had a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. So well, fun. We got to look forward to that Eileen Gruba in Game of Silence that I'm going to fingers, eyes, and toes cross that they pick it up on NBC. It'll probably air in the fall, I would imagine. Now, let's talk real quickly about Atlanta. That has become the new hub of casting and shooting projects of all kinds. So
yes.
Tell us what's going on? Atlanta, you know, the
when
pros,
I
cons.
First started in this industry, I was living in Atlanta.
Oh.
It's where I was first training at the Alliance Theater. I lived in Alpharetta. And I started working for a casting director there, Don Slayton, and did casting and commercials. It was also at that time, I had just started my acting career. I was doing musicals on the stage and all that stuff. I loved doing musicals, and I was rather young. And it was also at that time that, like, my first year of acting that I found out I had to have my entire left leg rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
That year was kind of hell because my mom died, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, my grandfather died, and then they told me I had to have my whole leg rebuilt, which was going to take an entire year off my feet and back in a wheelchair because it was a massive rebuild. So that was a tough year. And so one of my teachers at the Alliance Theater, I just remember going to her and saying, is it ridiculous for me to think that I could continue on being an actor with these physical challenges?
Wow.
Because I'm going to have my leg rebuilt, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. And she said, you, of all people, cannot stop. You have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept going to my classes in my wheelchair. I kept showing up in my classes. And then, you know, about 8 months later or so, they let me get up on crutches with a walking cast. And I just kept going because I was like, well, I'm going to train and I'm going to work in casting and I'm just going to make sure that by the time I'm back up and moving, I can be really good at this. So
now in Atlanta, because a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to move to LA, but yet I want to do film and television.
If
so
I had a
Atlanta
house still in Atlanta, I'd move there right now because there is so much.
What's happening?
What happened is because of the tax benefits of shooting there, a lot of productions have moved there. And also Tyler Perry has built up a bit of an entertainment empire there.
Wow.
And so now there's so many series shooting there. And
the
also it's a friendly town for
Vampire
production.
Diaries.
Yeah, people are still excited about it. You know, LA can be a little jaded. Atlanta's excited. They've got so many projects. And fortunately for me, because I have so many friends still there and family, when I get to go out there, I have, you know, if I go out to audition or if I go out to shoot something, I have places I can stay. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of family.
Is it expensive to live there?
No, it's not expensive at all. I had a house there for a lot of years, but in about 2007 I gave up the house because there wasn't a lot going on there. Now there is.
Oh.
I wish I had my house there now because there's so much happening there.
Oh.
And I'm super excited.
So you'd
about
recommend
this
that people can
oh yeah
go there.
My recommendation to anyone who wants to be an actor right now, from what I've seen in this industry, you come out to LA and you are up against everyone who's been acting since they were born.
Mm.
They've got credits like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They've got tons of experience, and a lot of them are very well connected. Their parents are actors. Their parents are producers, writers, directors. You know, you're up against it out here. But if you start in the town you're in, you can be a big fish in a smaller pond and train and get your credits, because all the people I know working in those places, that they are not even, a lot of them aren't even very trained.
Right.
So, but they're working, and that's where you learn. And I think it's smarter to build up credits where you are. Mm-hmm. And then when you get so big, you're too big for that town, then move. When I was in Atlanta, I got too big for that town. Because mm-hmm. at that time, there were only two casting directors. There wasn't a lot going on. I worked on the few little shows that were going a million years ago in the heat of the night and whatever. It's tiny stuff. And mm-hmm. in commercials and, like I said, musical theater. And then I moved to New York because I needed to expand.
Right.
But if I was there now, I mean, I think I would work constantly.
So casting directors are springing up.
Well, there's the Finn Cannons are amazing. They've been there forever. And I just remember when I was in Atlanta going up to North Carolina to audition them for them for things. And even when I moved to New York, I flew back to audition for the Finn Cannons for a Julie Roberts movie at some point. And, you know, so they're the ones who just cast me in Game of Silence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've known them for a lot of years. And then there's Tracy Kilpatrick, who works in Atlanta and New Orleans in that area. And so I have agents in the South still. And, I mean, I will go anywhere for work. Yeah. I will. I have to. I've got to keep my health insurance. Obviously, I'm one of the actors who absolutely has to keep my health insurance, right. which has gotten
and there's
harder
a minimum.
And harder.
There's a minimum, like $5,000.
Yeah. No. It's like $16,000 now for the minimum. And it's $30,000 for the good insurance, for the better plan. And that's just SAG. And because our unions have been split for so long, even though they merged, they haven't merged our health care plans. So if you're earning after a TV show, it's not adding to your SAG wages.
Oh.
And so it's harder than ever to make your health insurance. And so for me, I'll go anywhere. Ooh. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to go work if there's a SAG contract. I'm not kidding.
Right,
if I have to go out and be a local hire, do whatever I have to do, I don't
if
care.
If there's a gorilla suit,
if they tell me I have to move back to Atlanta, I will do it.
Right.
I mean, whatever it takes. And that is going to be my key to telling people what you have to do for your career.
Yeah.
You have to be in a position where you will do whatever it takes to work. Because the only people that I know working consistently in this industry are so aggressive. They never stop. They just find every way they can. And I'm like, it really literally has to be as important to you as breathing. It has to be like, I am going to do this no matter what. And when you're that committed, you will find a way. But the reason I think so many people don't make it as actors really is because they don't train enough so that they're not at the top of their game. When that opportunity shows up, they have to be the best.
Right.
And so that matters when that opportunity shows up. But the other thing is they just don't work hard enough.
Right.
I really believe that. And I've seen it across the board. It's like they're too afraid or they're, you know, they're not as committed because they've got, you know, I don't know, a husband and kids at home, or which is their priority. That's fine. That's great. But you got to realize that the people who are going to work in this industry, because the competition is so fierce now, they really do put everything they've got into it. And even the most successful and even famous people that I know well, they hustle constantly. They hustle. It's like they want a job, they go after it. You know, and even if they're famous, they
the guy that's doing the car commercial, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing commercial. He doesn't need to do commercials. He's probably got millions and millions, enough to last 40 lifetimes. But he probably loves the work.
Yeah,
he's an artist.
Yeah,
he's a true artist. And they don't care where they get work if they're
going to work hard.
Because they love it.
Yeah.
Now, you just touched upon something that we can elaborate on. When you say that a lot of actors are not getting work because they're just not working hard enough or because they're scared, that can fall into the category of which you're an advocate, which are people who are disabled. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you go to these workshops or these acting classes, they're not set up for you to be able to go up and have a scene. Sometimes the acting classes don't even have handicap ramps. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And they don't have, they're very small, and it makes a person feel uncomfortable with their, you know, wheelchair or power chair.
Right.
And then, of course, you got to worry about, you know, they're thinking, why are you wasting the time or this or that? This is what I've heard.
Oh, I had so many people tell me that through the years. And I just have a rebuilt leg and a limp. I have a spinal cord injury, but I can hide mine pretty well most of the time. If they want to see it, that's one thing.
But how do we encourage actors who are in wheelchairs or disabled to go to acting classes?
This is a different, now we're talking about a different ballgame, and I know this from 24 years of experience fighting this in our industry and fighting for the change that includes people with differences. There is a different mindset in our industry, unfortunately, still, that keeps people out that they find challenging or difficult. And unfortunately, I've had so many doors slammed in my face and literally cruel treatment. And even casting directors who used to bring me in and book me and bring me in and book me until they found out about the leg. And then suddenly I can't get in ever again. And there are particular casting offices that my agent has told me will not bring me in, and he's eventually been able to get them to tell the truth, and they will say that it's about the walk. Mm-hmm. I've also got so many friends in this town that I always hear what's going on, and you know, a casting director will say it to an assistant in their office who knows me and tells me that that's what they said. And so I know what goes on. I know what goes on behind my back. I also worked in casting a long time. And so I know how much they're like, oh, we don't want to deal with that, or, oh, there's something wrong. You know, it's a business where they're trying to eliminate a lot of people because the jobs are so coveted. So with a disability, they have an immediate reason to eliminate you. But fortunately, we've got some really creative writers and showrunners out there that are feeling the need to get more real, because that's what America really wants to see. You know, what I've learned through the years is that middle America, they don't mind our challenges. They embrace them. And actually, they want to know that everyone's not so freaking perfect that mm-hmm. they can't live up to that. I can tell you that when I lived in Atlanta and in New York, in those industries, I was far more accepted and appreciated than when I came to LA. And the first 10 years in LA were hell.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because that's when I was the youngest and the most beautiful and all that.
Right.
It's like, now it's changing. I'm getting older. I can't even play the kind of roles that I wanted to play,
right,
that I was ready to play, but they wouldn't let me in the doors. They just wouldn't, no matter what I did. I went to all those workshops. I fought so hard. But it took many, many years until we finally found the casting people who were okay and open, and the writers who were open. And sometimes I would squeak by and hide this past the casting process and into the producers, and then I'd get the job, and the producers didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite experiences was on Nip Tuck with one of the writer creators of the show is Brad Falchuk, and when he saw it, he was like, oh, how do you know, do you limp more with or without the brace? And I was like, I think without the brace, but I can hide it. And he goes, no, we love it. We
right.
want this. And I was like, who is this guy? I love him. And then, you know, the same thing happened with Sons of Anarchy. When they found out about it, they embraced it. They asked if they could write it in. Hung, the TV show, Dimitri and Colette, who wrote and created that show, they embraced it completely. They put me in a miniskirt with my brace, had me running around in the rain. They loved it.
Yeah.
And that just happened on NBC's pilot. They just embraced it. They let me run around. They didn't mind at all the movement.
Is there any way that we can encourage writers
it.
And producers?
Yes,
and
I think we have to keep telling our story. You know, one writer told me today, or not today, I'm sorry, a long time ago, one writer told me that having me in mind when she's writing characters opens up a world of possibilities. She's mm-hmm. like, I can create so much stuff to show, to say where your thing came from. And so recently with this pilot, I had a moment to talk to the writer, and I said, you know, if you want to write this in, I don't even care what you do with it. I'm open.
Right.
And I think that is what we have to do the most as performers with disabilities. Here is my perception. After all these years and being in the trenches, I think as a writer, an actor with a disability, you have to be more open than everyone else. You have to be a better actor than everyone else. And you have to say yes more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, do not be offended by how they talk about it,
right,
how they bring it up, and how they show it. Who cares?
Right.
As long as they're talking about it.
Right.
They might not have the words you like. You know, a lot of people with disabilities get offended if you use the word handicap or cripple or this or that. I don't care what words mm-hmm. you use.
No.
As long as you're talking about it and including
right.
me in the conversation.
More.
If you want to show me as a tripping gimp on the thing, fine. Just hire me and pay me, and we're all good
right.
to go. I don't care how you portray
right.
it, because I will use it
right.
and turn it into the best portrayal I can do with it. And I think that that's the biggest obstacle is because there's so many closed minds out there, we have to open their minds. Right. We have to let them know it's safe to hire us, that we're not going to cause them trouble on a set, that we're going to show up and do our best work. I know that through the years, the few times people admitted they were afraid that I'd get hurt or this, and I was like, I am less likely to get hurt than anyone else because of the fact that I have fallen all my life and I'm good at it.
Right.
I do my own stunts sometimes on purpose.
I love that. Just to see if I can.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I know how to fall right. and not get hurt because I've been doing it all my
right.
life. And not only that, I have such incredible endurance. I mean, I showed up all bruised a few days after that last thing because of all the fights scene and all that. But I don't care about that. I don't care about my
right.
bruises. I'm not the girl who's going to sue you because I tripped on something
right.
on a set. That, you know, that's – I got to deal with
do
that.
Do they worry about hiring handicap actors because there's special insurance that they have to get?
It's not it's that. It's just that we have a handful of people who've come into town and they're not exceptionally trained and they haven't worked hard enough to know how hard it is to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone gets them a job, maybe it came a little too easy, and they go on set and they sue somebody.
Oh, my.
Now that just shut down mm-hmm. producers' thoughts about ever bringing back.
Wow.
Or if they show up and they're not trained and they can't do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they show up and they become very, very difficult.
Mm.
That sticks because the bottom line is what the producers are thinking about. What's my bottom
right.
line? Are they going to show up and are they going to deliver and are they going to cause me trouble and more money?
Right.
They don't want that.
Right.
And I know that the disabled community probably won't want to hear that conversation, but the truth is we have to make it easy for them to hire us
yeah.
and let them know we are there and we will deliver. I can tell you that there has never been a time that I've shown up on a set and didn't deliver.
Right.
I try to make sure my take is 100% first take. You know, if they want second, they get even better juice, different, whatever they want.
Right.
But I deliver right out of the gate so that I know that I cost them nothing
right.
to be there. And I deliver, and I never, no matter what's happening, if my leg's hurting so bad that day that I'm gritting my teeth, I'm going to use it in my work.
Yeah.
They're never going to know about it.
Right.
I will show up and deliver. That's what I do.
Well, you are going to be delivering more than people could possibly know, because I understand that you are writing 3 projects,
yes.
a sitcom, a dramatic feature,
yes.
and a children's adventure feature, and that you are going to be writing actors
yes.
with disabilities into every project and hiring actors with disabilities in roles that have no disabilities.
Yes.
How wonderful
yes,
is that?
Yes, yes. I finally
decided.
So
you hear that, people? Eileen Gruba! She's got some roles for ya.
Well, I've heard all the scuttlebutts in the industry, you know, when they have big projects come out and they say, well, we can't hire a person with a disability because we can't find the actors. And I was like, you know, that's nonsense because you're not looking for us. And what I decided needs to happen is that the people that are in the industry the longest, the most trained, the best positioned, the ones that are out there doing it, they need some support.
Mm.
The ones that are right at the gate ready to fly.
Yeah.
And they've done their work and they've done their training. I've introduced you to a handful of
yeah.
them for your show. Well, those are the ones we need to write roles for because they're ready to fly.
Right.
And they will change the paradigm and they've got the credits to back it up.
Right.
You can't expect writers to bring in somebody brand new who just floated into town just because they have a disability. That's unfair. An unfair expectation.
Right.
Nobody should be hired just because of this, that, or the other thing. They should be hired just because they're the best for the job.
Mm.
And they've got the skills to back it up. Mm. And so what I'm doing is I figured out a story based in something in history. I'm not going to get too detailed because it's already a little coveted. I already pitched it out there to a few people who want to do this movie.
Mm.
And it's a big one. But I figured out that I'm writing the main, not the two leads, those are going to be big stars, but the ones supporting it and in this storyline, it's going to literally be written around actors I know who are trained and ready and including their disabilities in the roles.
Oh.
And then while I was recently working with this writer who's going to help me do this project, he said, I think we should also hire as many actors as we can in roles that are not disabled. And no one will ever even know they're disabled because we're going to put them in that way. And I was like, brilliant. I love it. Because the biggest problem is that the trained actors who are really ready to go often don't have the credits needed to get them into the bigger roles because the doors aren't open in casting. They're just not. Mm-hmm. I'm in this town for 20, you know, I'm in this industry 24 years. I'm in this town 18 years. And I can tell you on one hand, maybe two now, the casting offices that are truly open, that will bring you in for anything and know you'll deliver. A lot of them, I'm not going to say who, are still completely closed. And we got to work on that. But we got to get the gatekeepers to open up to the ones who are ready.
You're a gatekeeper. You're a gatekeeper and you're going to open it up.
I'm a gate opener, not a gatekeeper.
Oh, you're a gate opener.
So that's what my goal is to give them the opportunity, give them the roles so that they can shine, so that they have the credits. So that's the big feature that I'm writing. The sitcom includes, you know, a lead with a disability and friends of mine also that I'm writing around. And the children's adventure series has two characters with disabilities, a young girl and an older man in a wheelchair that was based on my friend Danny Murphy, who unfortunately passed away. Mm-hmm. I'm devastated that he passed away before he got to play this role. But
well, what stages are they all in development?
The one that's the children's adventure is called the Adventures of Mad Martha and Crazy Maisie. That one's done. I'm just doing a rewrite, a tweak. The other project, the feature that I don't want to tell too much about because the concept is so it just lights people up, and I don't want to lose that.
You're right.
That one, we're at the beginning. We've got the story figured out. We're at the beginning. We have the actors. We want to build it around. And the sitcom, we're in the process. We're in the writing, but it's already been pitched out. And there's a big production company that wants it and a producer that is taking it.
Now, these projects, a lot of people fund projects in different ways, crowdfunding, private investors, et cetera, et cetera. How... I don't know what your funding process is, but if you have to reach out to get investors, how
I'm
are
not
they going to
do that? I'm not going to do that
thinking
at all.
They'll
I'm writing
go,
the kind
oh,
of projects.
Oh, handicapped, disability people. Yeah. I'm not giving you any money for that.
Well, the way that this one's coming down, believe me, the people that I've pitched this one to are so lit up about it that I'm just going to go right to the top of this industry and sell that thing. I already talked to... a multi-Academy Award nominated actress who was absolutely lit up by the story. I think we can get an Academy worthy actress in the lead role. Definitely an Academy worthy actor in the person opposite her. And it's just such a phenomenal concept. Truly. I mean, every time I pitch it to somebody, everyone says, oh my God, why has this not been done? And it will solve a problem for our industry because they're always saying we don't know how to use these disabled actors because, you know, they don't have the credits, they don't have for these blah. I was like, you know, I'm going to show them how to do it. That's what I'm going to do with this project. And so I'm just going to go right up and sell them. And like the sitcom that we've been bouncing around that we're writing now, that's another one that every time I've pitched it, everyone wants it. So we've got this big TV production company head who wants it. So I'm just knocking it out now. We hope to have that one done by the end of the month. And so, no, I'm not going to be crowdfunding. Okay. I'm not thinking small anymore. And I don't want to get into anything negative, but after enough years in this business, I've realized that, you know, unless it's your really good friends, really low budget productions are where you don't get treated right and you're not appreciated for what you're bringing to the table. And so I decided I'm not working on them anymore. I'm done with low budget projects. Wow. You know, if you can't pay me my rate, you probably don't have enough respect for what I'm bringing to the table.
Wow.
And so I've worked for free and for nothing on so many projects and helped so many people along the way. But with building their projects and all that. And I would still do it for my closest friends. I really would. But at this stage of the game, it's time to step up to a much bigger game. Because when you work on Criminal Minds and Game of Silence and the people at the top of the industry, what you bring to the table, because they are artists and because they've worked hard to be where they are, they get it. And they appreciate what you're bringing to the table. Right. They appreciate your skill yeah. and what you can do. And that's
they're
just where I've decided
it.
To be. So I'm not going to do...
No more bartering
no more
for
fundraising, crowdfunding. No, no more of that. I've worked way too hard, and it's time to play at another
moving
level.
Moving on. Yeah. Moving on. Now, you are going to be in Wild Oats, which is opening soon with
Yay.
Jessica Lange and Shirley MacLaine. Oh, my God, I love
that
her.
That was one of the greatest experiences, too.
Where's it opening soon?
I don't know. I know I just saw on IMDb that they finished post-production, so okay. I'm sure we'll hear soon when there's going to be a premiere. That
is
thing
it,
is star-studded.
Is
I mean, Demi
or?
Moore's even in it. No, it's
Ooh.
A major feature.
Oh, it's a feature.
I think almost every character in there is a name. Almost everyone in that film.
Wow.
They like look up the list. You're like, holy cow, what a
Love
cast.
Love Demi Moore.
Yeah, so
Love.
it'll open big.
Wild
I just don't
Oats.
Know when
Is
or
it a
where
comedy?
Yet. It's a comedy.
Comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love comedy.
Great
okay.
working with those women.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Jessica Lange. Oh,
yeah,
my
you know, she's been like my idol since I was
Me
young.
Too.
And the funny thing is she looks, like when she was about 40, she looks exactly like my mother when she was about 40, except for different
I
hair color.
I can see it.
And, like, I have pictures of my mom at that age and pictures of her at that age where it brings tears to my eyes because I'm like, oh, my gosh, they look so much alike. So, and I've always admired her work and her risk-taking and that just
She's
I love.
Intense.
I have all her films,
Ooh,
and I'm just – that's the kind it. Of acting that I just
– It's tingly. Tingly.
Yeah,
Did you
I
have
love
a scene
it.
With her?
Yes, my scenes were with her. Both scenes were with her and Shirley MacLaine, so
oh.
I was really in heaven working on that project.
That's so exciting.
That's
See,
in New
some
Orleans,
people
yeah.
will never be able to say that.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Red Road aired on the Sundance Channel, which
yes.
I don't get. What was – is that a what is Red Road?
That's aired already. That's a series in a second season. It's very edgy. Jason Momoa is the lead guy.
Oh no!
He was in Game of Thrones and a lot. He's a real like warrior looking guy, and in this
I like
one,
it
he's
already.
Indian. He's just a really tough guy.
Oh.
That shot in Atlanta. Also, I did two episodes. Not the biggest. Part in the world. I was hoping it would be, but my character, I can say now because it's already aired, my character is the wife of the main police chief, and I have cancer, and I'm dying, and then when I die, he kills himself, and that just happened.
Oh.
It already aired. So I'm gone.
Oh, damn. But you could come back!
I was so
Anybody
excited
can
to
come
get
back.
That, knowing that I was the wife of the captain, and I had no idea I was going to die so fast.
Come
I was like,
down.
Oh, hell.
That's all right. You can come back in a nightmare scene or a dream. They bring
yeah.
you back. Nobody really dies anymore. And what are some exciting projects that you're working on now or coming up?
Well, I'm most excited about this NBC pilot, Game of Silence. That's the
Whoa.
One that's most exciting to me. And then the other things that I'm working on is getting these projects done so that they can go out.
Well, what is the new NBC series Aurora?
Oh, Aurora! I forgot to talk about Aurora. That's not an NBC series.
Oh.
That Aurora
oh,
is
new.
A feature film.
Oh, we
that
must...
was the two different
oh.
things. Aurora is a feature film that we shot in the Czech Republic and Switzerland a year and a half ago. And Robert Kuba is the director. I worked with him on The Rift a few years ago when he was 18.
Mm,
now he's
18.
22 and has wrapped production on this feature
wow.
film. And when you even see the trailer, like he launched the trailer, and it was like last week. And within a few days, he had 500,000 views on the trailer. And already it's close to 1 million views on all the platforms for this sci-fi feature. And in it, I play – well, I don't want to give away the storyline because that hasn't opened yet either. But I play the mother of the main kid.
Sure.
And also I did the voiceovers. And
wow.
And so I did the voiceovers for the the machine, the robot machine.
Oh.
And I saw a lot of people posting on the trailer, oh, GLaDOS is in it. GLaDOS. GLaDOS is like a famous voice on video games or something.
Mm, mm.
And I was like, who's GLaDOS? I had to look it up. And I was like, they think it's her. They think it's, you know, people think it's her, but it's me.
Yeah, See that?
I love doing voiceovers too.
You got a scoop today. Yeah. And when, so we don't know when that's going to.
Oh, it should be opening soon. I think they just did the first screening in Switzerland, and now we're planning when it's going to have a premiere in LA. And I'm just so excited by this kid because I think he's like our next Spielberg. Oh. He's phenomenal. Robert Kuba. And I'm just like, he wrote it, he produced it, he directed it. When you see it, you sit there and you go, you think it's a major, major feature, like a lot of money because he's got all these special effects and all these CGI, but he partners with companies and makes phenomenal things happen with less money. And I just know that when the American film companies and agents and all that see his work, they're going to be like, wow, what if we actually gave this kid some money?
Yeah.
You know, what if we gave him a few million to make a feature? If he can do this with very little money, imagine what he could do.
Wow.
With a lot of
look
money.
Him up. Kuba, C-U-B-A?
K-O-U-B-A.
K-O-U-B-A. Mm. And lastly, I want to talk about the Miss California Wheelchair pageant you just did. What was that all about?
Well, last year's Miss California Wheelchair, Cynthia DeJesus, asked me to speak at the pageant this year. And her friend Michelle Levitro, the two of them, asked me to go out and do this. And so that was fun for me because... I love speaking at things.
Were
no, I wasn't a judge. I just was a speaker for the event. And to me, I love getting a chance to talk to these people coming up behind me who have these challenges because, and to the group and the room, because I kind of want to get people to, not kind of, I really want to get people to understand that people with physical challenges are not, should not be seen as someone you stick in a corner and don't want to deal with. Because the truth of the matter is, they've been challenged, a lot of them since birth or through their entire childhoods. They've been challenged in a way that normal people aren't. And so they, by nature, know how to adapt, adjust, and overcome. They're fighters. They're warriors. And if we just clear their paths, they'll do amazing things. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the enormous successes that are people with disabilities. And it's because they were given the support they need rather than stuck in a corner.
Right.
I mean, look at Stephen Hawking. Look at Stevie Wonder. You know, there are just so many of them that are like amazing, phenomenal talents, and they have disabilities. I mean, even Beethoven went deaf and then wrote his best stuff. So, you know, challenges are not to be seen as something that lessens a person. They should be seen as something that expands a person and actually forces them to focus in a direction where they can become great.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people are betting on the wrong horse.
Right.
Because, you know, you bet on the horse that's never had a challenge. That's the one that's going to fail first. That's the one that's not going to make it the distance. But the ones that have been challenged, they're fighters. They know how to survive. No matter how much success you gave me, I'm never going to become the girl that falls to drug abuse and alcoholism and all these things that take people down because I'm too strong.
Right.
I've been through too much.
Right.
So the entertainment industry is challenging, but it's not the greatest challenge of my life.
Right. And lastly, I want to talk about your opinion real quick on the Oscars.
The Oscars.
We had a major, major thing happen with Eddie Romaine winning the Oscar for Stephen Hawking in Theory of Everything.
Theory of Everything.
Yes.
And then both lead actors that won Oscars played characters with disabilities. And there's an enormous groundswell of the 20% of the American population that actually has disabilities where they are tired of seeing every role played by people without disabilities when they're not even included in any roles, let alone those roles. So the groundswell is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's helping us create inclusion.
Right. There you go. And the Oscars prove it. We can have characters, disabled characters, portrayals of disabled characters. Now we need to have a disabled person actually really doing the role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, which is why we need to build up their credits.
That's right.
That's why we have to do this.
You're going to be doing that.
Yes,
that's what we're doing. So people out there, if you're disabled, go to her website. I don't know if you're going to be posting it on there.
We have a Facebook page called Trained Actors with Real Disabilities. It's a long title, but it's an important title. Trained Actors with Real Disabilities.
There you go.
Meaning they're ready.
Yes. So go to Facebook and check her out because she's it. She's whipping up the potion. She's making it happen, and you can be a part of it. So go to the Facebook page and like it and follow it, and maybe... Oh my God! I knew he would get that gong in
we
there.
We got the gong.
That
we're out
was
of time.
The gong. We're out of time. So check out Eileen's website, EileenGrubba.com. Go to her Facebook page and look for her in the NBC series that's coming out.
Game of Silence.
Game of
Yay,
Silence.
Say prayers.
Eileen, you're coming back, right?
Yes, yes, yes. We're gonna do it on the screen. Yeah.
Yay. We're gonna next time. We're gonna have Eileen. We're gonna do it on the screen. We're gonna actually do it via internet. What television? What would we call that?
Video.
We're going to be videotaping our actual radio show. So you'll get to see the gorgeous, beautiful, popping eyes. Aww. The mesmerizing eyes of Eileen Grubba.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Say goodbye to your fans, Eileen.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
And we'll have Eileen Grubba back soon. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again.
Grubba, Grubba,
Grubba. Bye-bye. Grubba,
Grubba. Grubba, Grubba,
Grubba. You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.